Amen. I want to be at the meeting. Amen. I might preach a sermon on it one time. Don't miss the meeting. Amen. Well, we greet you today in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We are thankful that you've joined us online in the parking lot, and later we'll be on WLLL. But then we've got those that are inside worshiping and praising the Lord. So we're thankful for that. Let's give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise. Amen. Now, before I go further, I want to let you know that we have one of our oldest members. She's going to be celebrating her 100th birthday in the month of April. And we're going to help her celebrate. I believe it's on the third Saturday. We're making plans for Mrs. Ruby Mickles to celebrate with a parking lot celebration. Her daughter asked her, Brenda Foote asked her, Mom, what do you want for your birthday? She said, I want to be alive. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. So we'll be giving you more on that. And coming up, we've got Friends Day. Friends Day. That's coming up the first Sunday in April. And what we're planning on is having a parking lot fellowship. We know that we're still restricted on inside. We ask that you wear your mask or some kind of face shield. Wear that social distancing. Wash your hands. And but we want to have something after that service on the first Sunday in April. That's also Easter Sunday, right? So we want to invite people to come out, and those that don't feel like they want to come in for worship, we still have online worship. We still have available our parking lot worship, but we want to have a parking lot fellowship following that. And for those that are joining us online, you can spread the news to your friends. Go to our website, crossroadbc.com, and you'll be able to not only hear the live sermons on Sunday morning, but you can also hear the recorded sermons that we have here at the church. Amen? Amen. So what's going on in our community? Well, we've got some folks celebrating their anniversary today. Keith and Joanne Sanders, and they're here in worship, so we thank God for them. 23 years. God bless you. And I believe it was yesterday that Mr. and Mrs. Newby, Jesse and Barbara Newby, celebrate 51 years. 51 years. What a blessing. So we've had some birthdays. I think Reverend Ray's birthday was this past week. Amen. And then Shay Wright, her birthday was yesterday. And I believe, Ms. Ray, your birthday comes up this month too? All right. So we got a lot of March. Anybody else, wave your hand if you got a birthday coming. All right. All right. God bless you. Good to have birthdays. Amen. So happy birthday to all of you. And we do have a couple of thank you notes that we want to pass on. This is Deacon Hurt and family would like to thank each and every one for their prayers, blessings, and monetary gifts and thoughts in the time of our sickness. May God bless you all, Wiley and Laura Hurt. And then we also have a thank you note. And this is from Vanessa Harvey, thanking the church for remembering her in her time of illness. So we continue to pray for them. We also have Pastor Byron Elliott celebrating his fifth anniversary at the Rivermont Baptist Church. They're having a drive-through pull-up and praise. I believe that's going to be at 2:30 today. So that'll be the morning service will be 11 a.m. With his father, Bishop Philip Elliott. They're going to have worship there, and Philip is from the Antioch Baptist Church in Hempstead, New York. And then they're going to have a pull-up and praise in the parking lot of the Rivermont Baptist Church today at 2:30. So a lot of things going on, and we thank God for each one of you. It is springtime, right? So we're grateful for that. The Lord has blessed us to get through the season, and I believe that God is going to bless us to get through this COVID-19. We still have to do the sensible things. Get your vaccination. People say they're at risk. They're at risk to everything. But when you watch people that you care about die from this, that is a very tragic thing. So please get your vaccination. I got mine. I got one of them. I'm going to get the other one, and looking forward to that. I thank God for it. You may have some side effects. You may not. But the risk of, again, not having the vaccination, that's going to cause a lot of problems for other people. You may have a situation where you're not impacted by it, but you could spread it. So we encourage everyone, get your vaccination and be a blessing to to others. Wear your mask, because that's the thing that we need to do. Amen? Amen. All right. I want to invite your attention to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. And as we look at that passage today, we've been talking about Elijah and the things that Elijah faced. We've said that he was human. But our model prayer does not come from Elijah. It comes from Jesus. And some of the things that he would teach us about prayer and what prayer can do in our lives. And what I want you to do today as I go along, follow along in the scripture. Allow God's word to speak to you so that you can understand the true value and worth of prayer. How many of you want to pray more and pray better? All of us do, yes. And so in that process, we're going to learn some things that Jesus brought to us that I call prayer essentials. Things that you need to know and practice as you pray to the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. Pray after this manner: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What a wonderful prayer. Amen. You may be seated. Prayer essentials. What does it mean for us to exercise these prayer essentials? Praying powerful prayers. That's been our theme. That's what we've been talking about. Praying powerful prayers. And not being doubtful when you pray. The disciples at one point asked Jesus to pray, and in the other gospels, this is what Jesus taught them. That you would call on God the Father. So here's the thing that we need to think about by prayer. Now, if I ask for a show of hands, many of you would say, I prayed because something happened. Or I prayed because I needed something to happen. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, you allowing things to prompt you to pray, but here's where Jesus is coming from. Jesus taught us to pray based on our relationship with God. Based on your relationship with God. Now, what that does, it moves prayer into a different realm. God is not just someone who handles the emergencies in your life. Yes, he can do that. Yes, he can put food on your table. Yes, he woke you up this morning. Yes, he can heal your body. Yes, God can do mighty things to bring you out of trouble. But here's what Jesus taught you. Here's what Jesus taught me. Pray because you have a relationship with God. Amen. Now, where am I going with that? Here's the point. If you only prayed because you had a problem, now you are limiting God just to that area where you've got a problem. Everybody with me? Amen. You're only praying because, well, this is wrong. Now, how would you feel as a parent if your child only came to you when they wanted something? You would feel used. You would feel devalued, right? How do you think God feels if we only come to him when something is wrong? Jesus wanted us to know that you have a relationship with the Father, and we've been telling you over and over that that relationship is through Jesus Christ. John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says, no one comes to God. Absolutely no one. Reverend Gibbons talked about the fact that there are some people who don't believe that they're sinners. I know I'm a sinner, but the only way that that can change is that I got to know God. And when I know God, he elevates me. He takes me out of my sin. He puts me into his son, Jesus Christ, where he can love me as much as he wants. Isn't that great? You got this amazing God who tells us, I want to have a relationship with you. I don't just want to be the one following you around when something bad happens, fixing it. He's not the Maytag repairman. All right? He's not your Dr. Feelgood. He is God Almighty, and he wants to know you as his dear child. How's that for greatness? How's that wonderful? Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise just for being God, just for being our amazing God? So Jesus taught us to pray based on our relationship with God rather than our need for God's provisions. Can God provide? Oh, yes, he can. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and God will provide for you. The point that Jesus makes from that is that we should use prayer as this way. And watch this. Here's the second thing. Not only because of our relationship with God, but because when you pray, you're in the kingdom. You missed it. Okay. All right. There's a difference between being outside of a building and being inside of a building. You know that. When you're inside the building, you're not careful about, well, it's raining or it's snowing outside or the weather's hot. When you're inside the building, now you're inside. Now you get to enjoy the elements and everything on the inside of the building. When you pray, believe it or not, saint of God, you enter into the presence of God. And guess what the presence of God is? It's called the kingdom. You're not an outsider. Now, that's unusual. That's foreign for us because we think we're down here on earth and God is way up there in heaven. And I've just got to pray to God in heaven. And what God says, when you're in prayer, you're in my presence. And wherever the presence of God is, that's where the kingdom is. Jesus taught when he went about preaching, he said, the kingdom of God is nearby. Now, if the kingdom of God is nearby, how do you enter the kingdom? Well, you enter it through prayer, through Christ. Now, I'm going to bring that out in a little bit, but I want you to let this, write it down, because it took a little while for me to really get that to sink into my thick skull that I was entering the kingdom of God. I thought I was just presenting a petition. I was presenting a need. And even when I'm interceding for other people, when I'm praying for church members, I was thinking, okay, I'm just going to push this request over to God like you put something in the mail. You know how you put in the mail? Old mail, not email, okay? The old mail, when you put in the mail, you put a stamp on it and you send it away. It'd take a couple of days to get you whatever answer you were looking. You put a bill in the mail. I still mail my bills out, right? You do some online stuff and they tell you it's paid. Okay? My point is this. When you come to God, you're not putting a request in the mail. You're coming right into the presence of God and presenting your need to God. Are y'all still here? Now, if you're a non-Jew, you won't understand this, because the Jews had grown up in a culture where if you're going to pray, you got to go get a priest. You got to get someone to represent you to God. You bring this offering or this sacrifice, and you bring that, and you pray. And if it's free will offering, you got to go through the priest, and then he's got to go to God on your behalf, and then the priest comes out and tell you, you got your blessing. Jesus said, you don't need to do that in the New Testament. Are y'all here? Jesus said, when you pray, simply, look at what he said. When you pray, or after this manner, this is how you pray, not going to the priest, not calling up Reverend Coleman. Now, I don't mind you calling me and say, pray with me, but I don't know everything that you need. And guess what this verse says? You can pray. How do you do that? Say, Our Father. And right there, when you come into God in Jesus and you're saying, Our Father, immediately heaven says, come on in. Now, you're not physically in heaven, but as the book of Ephesians says, you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Christ has elevated you so that even though you're on the earth, now when you're praying, you're in the presence of God. What a wonderful thing. Now you don't have to worry about your prayers going up to the ceiling and say, I guess they made it. Like a rocket ship, you know, you're trying to see if it made it. You're outside of Cape Canaveral and you're trying to see if that rocket's going to make it. Every prayer that's prayed in Jesus' name gets the glory. Because you're in the presence of the living God. And I wish the saints of God would do that. Don't worry about who's going to cover your prayer. He's already done it. He did it with his blood. Are y'all still here? That's why you don't have to go through a priest, because the blood of Christ has given you access. And I'm telling you, there's power. Can you say it? There's power. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. And when you come to God believing that your prayer's heard, oh, I'm telling you, you're in the presence of the living God. When I read that, I was absolutely amazed. Now, here are the five essentials. Here's the things that we wanted to share with you today. The five things that will help you. Now, this is not an exhaustive list. When you go through this, the Holy Spirit might tell you something else. And it's all there in the Word. He might whisper to you, well, here's something else that you can receive from this. Because it's all coming from the Word. It's all based on what Jesus has said. Five powerful verses that he gives us. Prayer to the believer is getting into the kingdom of God, but it's also recognizing you have a relationship with God. When my children were growing up, we used to have them to bring their friends over to the house, and we called those children who were my children's friends, we call them company, which meant come evening time, I might allow you to sit at our table and eat some bread, but you got to go home to your house. Are y'all still here? And a couple of times, some of the kids who were my children's friends kind of felt like, we like it here. And I would have to call up their parents and say, these ain't my kids. Are y'all still here? They were guests in the house. But when you're born of God, you're no longer a guest in the house. You're his child. And God loves you. Now, he wants everyone to be saved, everyone to be a child of God, but everybody's not there yet. And that amazed me about this thing. Here's the first thing that we've got to do when we pray. And all of these begin with letter F. So the first one is focus on God. Now, here's where I'm going with this. Focus on God and not your need. Y'all hear that? What we do, we've got this urgent thing that is bothering us, so we go to God, God, help, I got this problem. No, something is greater than the problem when you enter the kingdom, it's now God. The problem may have driven you there, but the problem, you don't build a relationship with it. You build a relationship with God. Now y'all might be quiet on me. So where did you get that from, preacher? Look at what Jesus said to pray. Pray after this manner, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He does not say, God, I got a problem. That's not the first thing you pray. First thing you do is you recognize how holy, how righteous, how powerful, how good, how amazing, how wonderful this God is. When you do that, now you're focusing on God and not the need. Why? Because when you get into the kingdom of God and you look at your need, that was what bothered me. That was what got me undone and frazzled. When you compare problem with God, which is greater? God is greater. You don't ever go to God and tell him, I don't think you can handle this. You kidding me? As a matter of fact, the reason why he allowed it was to help you to develop, and already the problem has done what it was designed to do, and that's to bring you to God. To let you know you're not super. To let you know you're not all that and the bag of chips. You might be one or the other, but you can't be both. It reminds you that when your focus is on God, you're saying, Lord Almighty, our amazing God, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. I struggle with this. I struggle with this. Because a lot of times that I spend in the presence of God, I'm telling him how bad the problem is rather than how great he is. And I'm ashamed that that's the way I've been praying for a long time. But I intend to change that. Because now I want to know about this God. I'll bring that up as we close. All right, you ready for the second F? Everybody say ready. All right, F doesn't mean you fail. F means you're paying attention, all right? Focus on God and not your need. Second thing that we need to be concerned about is follow God's will, not your desire. Follow God's will. What did Jesus teach us? He said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, believe it or not, what you're really doing there is you're surrendering your little answer book. You know, a lot of us will do a PERT analysis. Is that what you call it, Fred? A PERT analysis. We'll kind of look at things and we'll say, okay, here's how I'm going to handle this. If this happens, I'm going to do this. And we say to ourselves, okay, I'm going to have these emergency measures. You can do that in business, but you don't do that in prayer. You can have a game plan when you're trying to strategize and you're trying to figure out how you're going to handle things. But when it comes to prayer, give it up. Just give it up. You say, Lord, I can't do this. Talking about sin, one of the hardest things for us to do is to admit that we've got sin. Hardest thing for people to do. Oh, it's just a little habit. No, it's sin. And the sooner you recognize that it is sin and you say, Lord, your will be done. Now, God's will is not for you to continue to practice sin. His will is for you to be the person that he wants to do. So now you got a decision to make. Either you're going to say, Lord, your will or my will. Our wills, hang on to it for a little while longer. I'm not old enough. You know, I just got to be young for a little. No, no, no. You're getting old. That's why you got those gray hairs coming up on your head and you try to dime away, but they won't go away. Okay? So you got to recognize, I can't keep this thing in my life and have God also. And in the presence of God, you discover that he's got this great plan for your life. Is this what you say you are? Is this how you want to end your life, like this? Or do you want to become everything you could be in Christ? I made a decision. You know what? And I haven't been all there. No, no, no. I've got a whole lot of flaws. But what I try to do every day of my life is say, Lord, what else can you do with me? Because now when you pray God's will, guess who's going to make it happen? God's going to make it happen. You talk about the work of God becoming the workmanship of Christ. Now that you've said your will, not mine, God, through the Holy Spirit, comes into you, begins to transform you. Back to some of the things my kids used to do. They used to have these little things called transformers. And what looked like a little toy, a car, could transform into something, you know, supposedly a mighty warrior or a mighty little thing. It was just a little toy. But when it comes to the grace of God working in you and me, here's what happens. You are a human. That's all that you can be in and of yourself. Flaws, everything else. People say, well, I would never lie. You would lie. I'd never steal. You would steal. Whole bunch of stuff that you would do. But now that the Holy Spirit has come into you, now that you have Christ living on the inside, he begins to transform you where first you're all twisted up. Now he straightens you out. The crooked places are made plain. And the uneven places are made smooth because of God working in you. When you're praying and praying God's will, you're praying for his transforming power to come into you and shape you. I like that. I like that. The same way that God took a piece of clay, of dirt, took a piece of clay, began to work on it and shape it and then breathe into it. And that piece of dirt, God named Adam, and it became a living soul. It would have been a piece of dirt without God. And that's why some people are so dirty now, because they don't have God. But if you get God, he can sure enough change some. Great God Almighty. And my grandma said, he'll pick you up and turn you around. That's God working in you. through the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you're praying, "Thy will be done," you're not saying, "Well, Lord, I got to struggle with this. I see it this way." Quit your mess and say, "Lord, here am I in need of an answer from God. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come." Now you're inviting the kingdom of God to occupy space in your life. At 9 years old, I saw something I couldn't figure out. It was a vision. And I saw it. I was looking up at the sun because we were all playing these games. And we're saying, who could look at the sun? Not realizing that you could go blind with that. But while I was playing this game, God showed me something. A vision. 9 years old. A vision. Something big inside of something small. It did not fit, and yet it was true. I saw that vision. My cousin asked me, "What do you see?" I couldn't explain it until I got saved. When I got saved, I understood what the vision meant. Something great inside of something small, and yet it fit. When you accept God, you have the greatness of God Almighty coming into your life, now working in you, and that's His kingdom inside of you. Look at somebody. Don't touch them. Say, His kingdom is inside of me. When you accept Christ, you accept the power of God into your life to make of you what you cannot make of yourself. And what a glorious thing is this. All right, we got to move on. We got to move on. Focus on God. All right? Follow God's will and not your own way. Now, here's the next one. Have faith in God's promise. It says, "Give us this day our daily bread." You say, "Where's the promise?" Where do you think you'll get your bread from? David said in the Old Testament, "I was young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed go begging for bread." The Israelites, what they would do, they would thank God for the bread that comes down from heaven, because when they were in the wilderness, guess what happened? They did not have any way of getting food except God sent it down from heaven. I know God gives us jobs. I realize that. I realize that the Lord makes way for us to go out and do things in order to get our bread. People say, "Where your bread come from?" It comes from the grocery store. No, it doesn't. It came from God. All of your provisions come from Him. Here's the promise. God said He would provide for you. We can claim Him as our shepherd because He owns us now, right? And as our shepherd, He provides for us. So our simple prayer is this: give us this day our daily bread. But you know what our main problem is? We greedy. We are so greedy. We don't just want one piece of bread. We want a couple of them. We don't want one car. We want two cars, three cars, right? We don't just want one suit of clothes, which that's what you could wear. We want a number of clothes. My wife told me not to tell it, and I won't, but we were cleaning out our house, and I'll just say it this. I had clothes that I didn't even realize I had. Getting ready to go to the Goodwill with stuff still got the tag on it. And when she got ready to take it, I said, "Hold up, time out here." How many pairs of clothes can you wear in one day? How much bread could you eat in one day? How should we pray? "Lord, just give us enough." Biggest problem with America, we are a throwaway culture. We got too much, and we don't know how to be grateful for it. More, more, just give me more. And Jesus said, "Hold up, just claim God's promise." People get mad at God because they don't have what somebody else has got. Don't you have enough? When you take on the attitude of basing your prayer on faith in God's promise rather than faith in your greed, you're going to see a whole lot of prayers answered. When I read this verse, it cut me to the heart because I prayed for stuff that I really didn't need. And then after I got it, I really couldn't use it. And when I tried to use it, it messed me up. Anybody in my neighborhood? You don't want to pray for what you don't need. You want to pray for what God promised you. Because the things that God promised you is now going to prompt you to become everything that he would want you to be. How good is that? Hey, amen. Have faith in God's promises. What he said he would do for you, let him do it. Ah, can I tell you, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. All right, give the Lord another hand clap. Here's a big one. I'm going to try to hurry up and summarize this. We're about to run out of time. Then you pray for the third F, forgiveness. Not just faith in God's promise, not just to follow God's will and focus on God, but you pray for forgiveness. You pray for forgiveness from God, but you also pray for forgiveness to others. Here's how we want it. We want God to forgive us, but we refuse to forgive others. Here's what Jesus said about your little equation, right? You want your equation to work one way, but you don't want it to work the other way. And forgive us our, what? Debts as we forgive our debtors. I'm going to be brief with this. If you don't forgive others, you may as well get up off your knees. If you say, I resent what they did to me, get up off your knees. Get up off your knees. I'm just bitter about what they did. Get up off your knees. You don't pray until you reconcile with your brother. Are y'all still here? Why you would be mad with folk if that happened last year? I'm still upset. Well, don't you think that what you did to God upset him? And yet he woke you up this morning? Come on now. In a lot of the ancient cultures, unforgiveness was characterized by someone carrying a carcass or a dead body on their back. And they would carry it for days. And as that body began to rot, it impacted the person who was carrying it. Can you imagine that decaying body now beginning to spread into your body? There's no way that you cannot forgive others and it not impact what's happening in your heart. Just let it go. Now, here's the point. Don't let it go because they deserve it. It didn't say that. Let it go because you want something from God. Are y'all in the house? Excuse me for getting excited. I'm going to be dignified. No, I'm not. I'm excited. Now I can forgive people even if I don't feel like it. Nowhere in that verse says you got to feel like it. Your feelings will follow your direction of where your faith is going. If you say, you know what, I'm giving up those folk. Now, let me tell you what you're going to do. Don't be no fool, right? If you know that folks have messed over you 10 times, forgiveness does not mean that you got to do business with scoundrels. And I know some of y'all say, well, Reverend, that ain't what the verse said. Look, you could be a blessing to someone else while you messing around with folk that ain't going nowhere. Are y'all still here? Now, I'm not saying you hate them, but as my mama would say, you love them at a distance. Oh, glory be to God. I had a situation where we were trying to help this homeless person. And the more we tried to help them, the more that they would continue to do the things that would cause them to be in that situation. So what I said to some of our staff is that, listen, we've done everything we can, but they're going to be cold. Well, maybe a cold night will remind them that they need to change. They're going to be hot. I said, yeah, that's probably true, but look at the people that we could be helping. With all the things that we try to do for this one person, we could have helped 10 folk. Are y'all still here? So you got to make sure that when you're forgiving people, that you don't make yourself a doormat for those people that you forgive. Are y'all still here? Now, the point I'm trying to make is this. There were people that Jesus knew that they didn't want him and they didn't want his kingdom, and he would rebuke them. All right? He would correct them. I know some of y'all are going to write me letters, but Reverend, here's what, and I like that because I'm still learning. I don't know everything about this, but I do know some things about it. Forgiveness does not mean that you've got to expose yourself to things happening to you, like dangerous situations. Why are you going to stay in a domestic situation if somebody punching you upside the head all the time? Forgive them and let them go, and then they say, okay, I hope you get it together someday. It's good preaching, ain't it? Hallelujah, somebody. Let me hear them get out of this thing. All right, so here's what Jesus said. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those. Let go of that body that you're carrying around. Let it go. Because guess who lets your sin go? Jesus does. He bore your sin on the cross. He bore my sin on the cross so that we won't have to carry it. Don't allow the sin of other people keep you from forgiving them. Amen. And that's all I'm going to say about that. As Forrest Gump said, that's all I got to say. All right, last one. This is a good one. Fellowship with God. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Fellowship. What does fellowship with God mean? It means, first of all, I'm not under the dominion of Satan. When I was in sin, Satan controlled me. He would tell me what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And he controlled everything about my life. When I enter the kingdom, now something is different. God controls me. So when the devil comes to you with a temptation, with something that he wants to dominate your mind, soul, and body, what you say to him, I got a new owner. I belong to Jesus, and I'm trusting in his word. When you do that, you're now having fellowship with God. And now, listen, the devil enslaved you. He made you a slave to your habit. Whether you wanted to or not, every Friday when you got paid, you had a couple of stops. First you pay your bills, and then you went to the ABC store. And it was not to learn alphabets. That's the way it was with me. Because I was a slave. But when Jesus came in, he set me free. He loosed the shackles of the very things that the devil was telling me, oh, but it's fun. Jesus said, no, freedom is what's fun. Being set free, being delivered, and knowing God. And when he did that, truly now our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I don't have to do those things. And I'm going to tell you something. What I learned over time, you can't pray and sin at the same time. Either you're going to sin or you're going to pray. So here's a point I want to make. If you feel like that you're getting ready to go down that sin road, start praying. Start praying. And as you pray, you can feel yourself having that fellowship with God that sets you free from your sin. Anyone that's born of God does not commit sin, according to 1 John. How do we do that? Pray. Pray like you know. Now, let me give you a couple of takeaways. I know y'all had enough. You said, okay, Rev, you done beat us up enough. I beat myself up. But I learned something about prayer. Pray because you focus on God, not your need. Follow God's will and not your own path. Have faith in God's promise. Have forgiveness from God, but also forgiveness to others. And then having and maintaining that fellowship with God, that's why you pray. Why do you think Jesus prayed? So here's the point that I want to make as you go out today. Prayer takeaways. Number one, pray to know God. Pray to know God. Do you know how much he loves you? Do you know how much God cares for you and me? You would be amazed. You would be amazed. Anytime that during your lifetime, Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you. Now, I don't know what kind of place that's going to look like, but from everything that I've done down here on earth, even though it's temporary, Greg, it's still good. So if I'm going to heaven, man, that means it's got to be out of sight. Pray to know God. Secondly, pray to make things happen on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You're not biding time on this. You're not in some island of isolation. God wants you to pray so that things can happen through you. Amen? He wants you to be a changer. If the world is going bad, will you start helping to make it a good world? And God will give you the strength to do that. So pray to make things happen on earth. Then lastly, pray for others to enter God's kingdom. Pray for others to enter God's kingdom. When you do that, you will be exercising this gift of prayer. Is that all right? Let's give the Lord another hand clap. Father, we thank you again for your amazing love. We thank you, God, for all that you've done and all that you will do in our lives. We're asking, Father, that you would use this message to help people and not to hinder them. And Lord, if there were things that I said that were confusing, take it out of their mind and just give them what you want, because you're God in control of our lives. Father, I thank you for this model prayer as we read it, as we practice it, as we go forth. And Lord, we recognize that we need to know you more and serve you better. Save that person that needs salvation today. Help them that they would humble their hearts and come to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to extend the invitation.